Welcome to the Maze Marketing Podcast. This isn't another podcast about marketing tricks or hacks, but about building effective marketing systems, beating marketing overwhelm, and communicating your expertise with your hosts, Rob Drummond and Jonathan Wilson. Email is still a big part of any customer nurture system, but most of the conversations online about which email platform, which email provider should you use, are kind of lacking in sophistication, in my opinion. So in this episode, Jonathan and I take a delve into my little treasure trove of experience working with different email providers to help you select the right email system for you and your needs and your budget. So I really think there's a lot in this call. Let's jump in.
Well, hey, Rob, what's on your mind with email marketing systems today?
So my big frustration with email marketing systems is when you look at a lot of the forums and the groups and a lot of the questions that get asked about email marketing systems, it's normally like, which email system is best? That's basically the question that people ask. Yep. And as you know, should I use MailChimp or Infusionsoft? And I was like, well, that's not a very, it's just not a simple question because they're not equivalent, like they're not equivalent tools.
Yeah.
So I wanted to just explore in this conversation, like I've obviously got a bit, you know, like at least some experience. My kind of background is working in CRM systems. So my first, you know, real job after college was for a CRM company. And then we ended up tacking on an email application to that CRM system. And then I ended up doing a lot of work with Infusionsoft for a while. So I became an Infusionsoft partner. And yep. Basically because, like, I don't know if I've ever told you this, it was because I noticed that two of my most interesting AdWords clients who took marketing follow-up the most seriously and long-term customer nurture the most seriously, I noticed that they were using Infusionsoft.
Yeah.
And I've been aware that, you know, Perry and Ryan Dice and Frank Kern and some, you know, big hitting internet marketers used Infusionsoft. And, you know, I sort of jump into things quite quickly if it feels right. And like, just, I think based on my previous, you know, experience, it was a good fit.
Yep.
And, I basically put out a message on Perry's, what was then, it's now the new Renaissance Forum, and asked, you know, does anyone use Infusionsoft and want some help? Because I need to learn the system. And a few, you know, fortunately, a few people responded.
Yeah.
You know, since that time, I've done just about every job you can imagine in Infusionsoft to varying degrees of competence. So, you know, I've got a reasonable amount of experience with it, but I eventually backed off from being a partner, partly because I don't fully agree with the direction that Infusionsoft is now going in.
Yeah, no kidding.
And also, like, for being a partner, it's all about selling apps, and I was never interested in selling apps. I exist in more on the implementation side, helping people set up campaigns, helping people write copy for the campaigns. And I was like, well, I don't really need to be a partner, you know, for that. So in that time frame, I think a lot of the other alternatives, like it used to be, you know, should I use MailChimp, Aweber, or Infusionsoft? And in the past few years, like some very credible, very viable alternatives have cropped up. ActiveCampaign is very good. Drip is very good. I've recently set up a Drip account for another project that I'm running for my story copywriters project. So there's some very credible alternatives that maybe don't do everything that Infusionsoft does, but for a small business owner, like it might do like 80%, 90%.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. So I just wanted to kind of talk through and give people an idea of like, well, obviously all of these things have a different price point. And I think it's worth talking about like, well, why do they have a different price point?
Yeah. And there's the complexity issue too, which may not strike a lot of beginners on the surface, but when it's all said and done, what is going to cost you more is not the monthly subscription. What's going to cost you more is the time that it takes to actually learn how to handle the system correctly.
Yeah. Yeah. And so every what I would term a serious email system, and by serious, I mean
I mean, a system that is essentially a CRM system. So a CRM is customer relationship management. So it's a contact database rather than just an email system. So I would regard MailChimp and AWeber and things like that as entry level tools for sending emails. Like if you just want to build a list and have people opt in on your website and send them an email once a week or whatever, then those tools are perfectly fine for delivering emails. And actually their email, you know, they're very good at getting email delivered to the inbox.
Yep.
They're very affordable, you know, compared to something like Infusionsoft, even though they're messing around with their pricing, you know, like, but historically Infusionsoft might've been a few hundred dollars a month, going up to, you know, thousands if you have lots of contacts and lots of users.
Yep.
You know, it's, you can get started with a MailChimp account for free, and then it goes up to like $20 a month, or maybe even less for like, you know, 2,000 contacts or something like that. Which you know is, so I think we also need to back up, like, to probably take a bit of a step back, and because there's probably people asking like, well, why can't I just send emails, you know, through my own servers? And there are tools that will let you send emails through either your own servers or through Amazon servers. And you know what, if email marketing is a part of your maze and you're sending emails seriously and relying on emails, like, don't use one of those things. Like, spend the $20 a month on AWeber or MailChimp, just because they have teams. Like, email deliverability is complicated. And if your sender reputation gets damaged, which it can do regardless of how squeaky clean you are in terms of what you're sending people and the double opt-ins that you get, like, you will always just get some cretins on your list who are like, you know, I didn't opt in for this.
And
genuinely, some people don't understand what the this is spam button is. Like, some people think that this is spam button is the unsubscribe button, and then they press it. Like, I remember a few years ago, like, I had a few spam complaints in my Infusionsoft app, and then because I could see who they were, and then one of them was an old client, and I emailed him from my Gmail. I was like, "What are you doing?" And he was like, "Oh no, I just wanted to unsubscribe." I was like, "Man, so you know, don't try and send through your own domain or, you know, anything like that. Just spend, like, as minimum, spend the money on one of the more basic tools.
So with the 80-20 principle in mind, this, an 80-20, by the way, applies to all levels of what we're talking about here. But to begin with, you're going to have customers that you like need to communicate with, right? You got to send them their deliverables. You got to get the invoice through. You don't want to use your common everyday personal or your email address at work to be doing any kind of email list broadcast stuff. Because as Rob just said, you're going to get marked as spam, and then you won't be able to send the bill, plain and simple. Eventually, you won't be able to receive emails either. The other thing is that virtually every provider, I'm sure there's exceptions, but all the providers that give user mailboxes, so to speak, have rate limits. So they know that endlessly hackers are breaking into things and getting access to people's email accounts and then using legitimate accounts to send spam. One of their defenses against that is to make sure that a personal email account is not going to be blasting out 200 messages an hour, or some of them would be 200 a day or 50 a day. Gmail, for example, is pretty low. I think it is like 200 a day or something like that, 100 a day maybe. So yeah, you're gonna run into some actual practical problems really quickly if you do that. The other thing is that when you're just, if you are literally talking to a small handful of people, okay, great, use your personal messaging. But the minute that you have any kind of, you know, mass automation situation going on, you're going to be totally unable to keep track of who you sent what, who received what, who opened what, why they got it, what they need next. So this is where those tools come into play. So they keep your personal account from getting locked up or marked as spam, and they allow you to actually manage your list.
The way that they mostly work is they have like a rotating pool of IP addresses that they use to send the emails.
Yes.
And they have teams of people monitoring the deliverability, and it's part of their service agreement that they will, you know, they won't promise to get your email to the inbox. It might end up in like spam or promotions or somewhere, and that's your problem, not their problem, but they will get it delivered.
Yeah.
I actually have a story about a domain being blacklisted. So when I, so that first CRM job that I had, I was in the marketing department, and we used to send emails through our own, we used to send marketing emails through our own IP address. Just because, you know, this was like 2006 or something, and yeah, which wasn't quite the dark ages for email marketing, but you know, there's some more shady practices that you could sort of get away with.
Yeah.
And then we noticed eventually that the sales team was sending proposals to clients for, you know, like £30,000, and the client wasn't getting it.
Yep.
Because the entire domain had been blacklisted.
Yeah.
So what people don't realize is, you know, just because you're like using Infusionsoft or something, or, you know, MailChimp, it's like your sender reputation is considered at your domain level, not based on what you're doing in Gmail and what you're doing in MailChimp. Like,
exactly.
as far as, you know, the internet police, you know, view you, they just look at all of the emails that are being sent by your domain, whether they're being sent by MailChimp or whether they're being sent by Gmail. And if they think you're a scumbag, then you'll quickly find that like serious emails don't get through anymore.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, I think we probably have it the point on, but you know, use like a proper tool.
Basically. Exactly. Yeah. The right size tool for the job.
Yeah. Where a lot of these kind of entry-level tools fall down and where I get very quickly frustrated is they're very good at adding people into a list. So someone might opt in on your website, you add them to an autoresponder series and, you know, a very basic, you know, maze type structure where you send people 20 emails or something. If you want to then stop that series when they buy something or click on something or do something, then it's quite hard in many of the tools to do that. So a lot of the more basic tools are list based, meaning that if you have like three different lead magnets on your website, and then you have three lists, one for each lead magnet, if someone opts in for each lead magnet, they end up on each individual list, but it's hard to move people between the list.
Yeah.
They also bill you three times for the same person because they bill it on which is, you
know, fine print. Always read the fine print.
A bit, yeah. So you can have, you know, 2,000 contacts in MailChimp, but if like 10% of those are opted into 10 different lists, then you're going to find it into being quite expensive.
Yeah.
So the more expensive tools then move away from this kind of list-based structure and move towards a contact-based or contact-focused structure, where the contact record is more like the units. So you've got three different lead magnets. Someone opts in. They exist as a contact in the system. And then they might be, and then emails get sent out, you know, based on that. As you kind of go up the price scale, you get more functionality. So on the contact record, you can start applying tags. So tags are like labels. So, you know, so a bit like we have tags in Google Ads, you can also, you know, apply tags in Drip or ActiveCampaign or Infusionsoft. When you apply a tag, it's a bit like a label, I guess, but a tag can often be used to trigger a different email campaign or a different email series.
Yep.
You also get fields, custom fields. So if you want to store more static information about someone, you can store more static information, which, you know, for like starting to segment the database and like facilitate a sales conversation, like effectively your CRM/email system is basically like the memory of your business. And if you're not gathering this, then you don't have that memory. Which means that you can't send that intelligent emails. And it's hard to have, you know, sensible conversations with people.
Clear that up just a little bit for people who aren't familiar with it. A tag is like, you don't want more tags than you need. A tag is like, they bought, they subscribed to this thing. A field is like last name, and then it contains info, Jonathan, Rob, et cetera. If you use tags for everybody's name, you would end up with millions of tags in your, you look at the tag list and you'd have everything possible under the sun. That would get really confusing. You want to be able to look at all the first names or all the last names. So that's the main difference there.
And there's a real thing where in all of these systems, there's basically no limit on the number of tags that you can create, which is an open invitation to make things more complicated than they need to be.
Tag abuse.
Because it's easier to just do stuff on the fly and do it lazily, and then you kind of forget, well, what tags are doing what, especially if a particular tag. So if you've got a tag that says, you know, opted into lead magnet B, and when that tag is applied, there's an email series that goes out that sends the lead magnet and gets people to read it and whatnot. If you forget about that tag and create a second tag, then suddenly you've got two different tags, and it's like, oh, actually, which tag was the one that starts the email series? And it creates this confusion. I was actually working in an Infusionsoft account just this week for a client, and their entire Infusionsoft account has gone really slow just because they've got thousands of tags.
Yeah.
And it ends up so it ends up being like a lot of it, from an automation perspective, like a lot of these tools are like blank canvas tools. So it's like, so compared to like MailChimp, where you just have, you know, the opt-in and then an email series, and you kind of email people until they die or buy or basically just until or they die or unsubscribe, I guess is the other way out. Yeah. you know, when you move to the more advanced systems, it's like it's more of a blank canvas arrangement where you can create anything you want. But it's easier to create something that's complicated. It's harder to do the hard thinking and think, well, how do I create something simpler? How do I keep it organized? So like a lot of the work that I used to do in Infusionsoft is just like getting people to use, like, and you'll probably appreciate this from working in Google Ads, getting people to use consistent naming conventions for campaigns, for tags, for emails, so that you can look at a campaign and you know what it's supposed to be doing. Otherwise, you end up like, I literally end up pulling my hair out when I go into someone's like Infusionsoft. It doesn't have to be Infusionsoft. It could be Drip. It could be ActiveCampaign. Yep. And there'll be a campaign sitting there called July Promotion. And I'm like, what on earth is July Promotion? Like, please give me a clue. And it's just been done lazily. It's like, yeah, it's just been done on the fly, you know, without a consistent syntax. So yeah, that's one of the simplest things to implement. That's the biggest impact on return on investment that these tools can provide, because you're only going to get a good return on investment from a more expensive tool if you keep it organized. Well, firstly, if you know how to use it. Like many people buy the more expensive tools because they're copying someone else, or they just have a look around and say, oh, so-and-so is using ActiveCampaign, so I'll buy ActiveCampaign, but they haven't really analyzed their requirements, mm-hmm. and they haven't matched it to their requirements.
Yeah.
And then they don't really put the effort in to learn how to use it. And then you end up with like sloppy naming conventions, and it all just becomes a mess. And eventually they decide, oh no, this is too much of a mess. I need to hire someone like Rob. And then I come in and I pull my hair out and decide, I don't really want to work on it. Thanks. I'll take a pass. And then they end up jumping ship and thinking, oh, Infusionsoft's too complicated. It's Confusionsoft. And actually, you know what? All of these systems are potentially confusing if you don't follow these basic.
Absolutely. You can mess up a spreadsheet or a text list if you don't take care not to.
Yes. But, you know, I think there's definitely a degree of like thinking that has to go into these things, because like essentially a lot of these tools kind of do similar things. There are some differences. A lot of the differences come down to integrations.
Yeah.
If you need your, bearing in mind that this is your contact management system, if you need it integrated into your account system so that, you know, when someone buys, you can trigger an email in your email system, but you can also raise an invoice in the accounting system, then, you know, you want those systems to be integrated out of the box, yep. You know, without using Zapier or one of these third-party connectors. Like, you want it to be a native integration. It's like, well, if that's one of your main requirements, then don't just buy ActiveCampaign because Joe down the road is using ActiveCampaign, or because you asked in a forum what's the best email to use and somebody said, oh, ActiveCampaign is great. It's like, well, that doesn't address your particular situation.
Yeah.
So you have to think about, well, what other systems are you using? Like, what is your kind of core? Like there's always like a core business system, like, in every business. So in like a more traditional offline business, like the core system would probably be the accounting system, because that's where you got the stock, that's where you got the inventory, that's where you got the product file. you know, if you've got information in your product file that you might want to display on your website, and you might also want to display that in an email when you're emailing people, and you want to have accurate pricing from your accounting system, then that's your main requirements. And the accounting system is then the primary system. So you have to select the email system that integrates your primary system, which is the
exactly.
Accounting.
Yep.
When I first bought Infusionsoft, I mean, I basically bought Infusionsoft for all the wrong reasons. I violated all of these principles. I basically watched a webinar by a guy called Jermaine Griggs, who was Infusionsoft Marketer of the Year and runs a business called Hear and Play. And he talked about how he runs this multi-million-dollar business with an Infusionsoft account and like 3 employees. And it was like really impressive. And my jaw hit the floor. And I was like, you know what? That's just way better than what I'm doing. And just made an emotional decision at that point to invest in Infusionsoft. And actually, before that, I had been using AWeber and an add-on called AW Pro Tools, which actually, for my needs, if I thought properly about my needs and been honest about it and not got swept up in marketing automation mania, it was perfectly fine. And actually, if I'd spoken to someone at the time who would honestly said, you know what, like, take your little business and go back to AWeber and AW Pro Tools, knuckle down, get your head down, build your client base, you'll be fine. If someone had said that to me, I'd have been, oh, okay, yeah, fine, yeah. But nobody did, because if you go to a vendor, they're always going to sell you the software.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, most of the external consultants aren't really independent. They're all incentivized to sell particular software. So it's very hard to get independent advice on what systems to use.
This is like the world's most common internet marketer story, right? Like leaving what works for the next best thing, the bright, shiny object.
Yeah.
I'm curious, is AW Pro Tools, side note here, is that Jack Bourne's?
It is Jack Bourne's, yeah. So it's an add-on that lets you move, so AWeber's list-based, but if you want to move people between lists when they click on a link or things like that, then AW Pro Tools lets you do that.
Jack is one really smart engineer. His stuff is, I've not used AW Pro Tools particularly, but he's a sharp guy, makes good stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, just to kind of fill you in on my email marketing journey. So yeah, and then I used Infusionsoft for a while. I've ended up not using it. I mean, in principle, because it wasn't really a requirement to my business for it, and I eventually faced up to that. And then it's probably worth talking about why I've sort of moved off it as well. I think because it was perfectly fine. And my website, so I ended up in a situation where my website and my membership site was integrated to Infusionsoft. My accounting system, which is Xero, was sort of integrated to it, but kind of a bit haphazardly. My mailing house, which I used to send the print newsletter, was integrated to it. So, you know, it was going all right. Like I could definitely have carried on. I just wasn't that happy with like the way that this tool was being developed. Because I think, because I spent so long as an Infusionsoft partner, and, you know, you could see like the turnover of stuff that was going on at Infusionsoft.
Yep.
And so Infusionsoft was always known as like a power users tool. Like if you wanted to do really high end marketing automation, then Infusionsoft was always like, you know, the tools to invest in. It was like the Ferrari that you could buy as a small business owner. And they've kind of changed the strategy on that. And they've kind of started to go after much smaller users.
Yeah.
And I found that deeply frustrating, because I was like, the, to me, the thing that made it great was actually the complicated stuff that you could do. I was like, well,
exactly.
Why not just focus on the power users? Because we're the ones who really love Infusionsoft and talk about it the most. And I still love Infusionsoft. I think that can, in some ways. And then, you know, I mean, so they ended up developing like what was originally called New Infusionsoft, that's later become Keep, as a separate product and a separate code base. And I was using the old product on the old code base. So it became pretty obvious that all of my complaints about the e-commerce module and things like that, like they just weren't going to be fixed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at least not in a sensible time frame. So, you know, I think a lot of it comes down to like, how do you feel about the vendor? Do you feel, do you buy into what they're doing? Do you buy into, does the rhetoric match up with the development that you see in the software? Is the support good? Support with Infusionsoft, it was a bit, you know, sometimes it was good, sometimes it was hit and miss. There was some frustration there. Like, how does it make you feel? Like, it's not just about the software. It's also because ultimately you're always going to run into, like, if this software is your core business system and it's a contact management system, at some point you're going to run into problems. And it's not that the problems happen. It's how you feel. It's how they're dealt with.
Yeah.
And, you know, do you feel listened to? Do you buy into what they're doing overall? Because if you buy into what they're doing overall, you'll put up with, you know, things going wrong and so on. And you'll be a lot more understanding of that than if you feel kind of negative about it.
Yeah.
And it's just a real thing. So, you know, if you're using some like email software and it just doesn't really feel right, then you should listen to that. Like it is a real thing. Like the software that you use should feel good.
Yeah.
So most recently I'm using two email tools. I'm using a tool called Connectably, which was developed by a friend. So I'm effectively one of his early users. So that's what all of the Mates Mastery stuff is run on. And the reason that I sort of got involved with that is because it integrates natively to Xero, which is my accounting system. It integrates natively to DocMail, which is my mailing house. And I know Gareth, and I like Gareth, and I like what he's doing. And I was like, well, you know what? Like, unlike Infusionsoft, I can email Gareth, and if there's a problem, you know, we fix it. And there have been a few issues because I'm a DC user, but I accept that. And then for the story copywriter stuff, I originally set up another AWeber trial. And then within about 15 minutes, I was like, nah, I just can't do this. It just doesn't feel right. So I was like, you know what? Just spend the extra $20 a month and invest in Drip. And it just feels right. And I've been really impressed with it. And like, I think the only thing it kind of lacks is sort of tasks and workflow. And, you know, if you want to, you know, create like opportunities and things like that, then it doesn't really have any of that, but I don't really need that so much.
Yeah.
It maybe doesn't have the same kind of order form integrations, I guess. So you have to, you know, it's not like Drip is better than AWeber or Drip is better than Infusionsoft. It's like, you have to consider like, well, do you need to take orders online? Like what, like where are your order forms hosted? Like what integrates to those order forms?
Yep.
So you have to consider all of those things basically. So that's where I'm up to. I just thought that like talking through my own struggles, because we all have struggles with this, might be helpful to someone listening, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other thing I wanted to say actually is that there is a big trend in marketing. So if you have an email marketing tool that is basically a CRM system, it's quite hard to sell it if you sell it as a CRM system. If you sell it as a marketing automation platform, then you know everyone wants to buy it. So you see a lot of these tools being branded now as marketing automation platforms, and it's basically just, you know, a customer database.
Yeah,
but you can't call it a customer database because
nobody buys a customer database. No. Yeah. Well, there's so much more to be said about it, but in summary, I think the biggest takeaway for me is that we touched on this earlier, but just the price tag of the software is not what you need to be worried about. You need to be worried about the capabilities of the system and then what it's going to take you to actually make that run, including those support problems that come up, right? Like if you've got if you've got a high pressure situation and every time something breaks, you got to wait on your part-time tech vendor to come in and fix that for you. Well, does that actually work for you or not? Right. So
I think as well, like if you invest in a higher end system, you have to get it set up right. And you have to get your processes set up right. It has to be a core part of your marketing. If you try to bolt it onto your marketing, it's not going to work. And to that end, it's probably worth investing in some help from an external consultant who isn't, you know, intimately, you know, invested in your business, and they can actually see what's going on and they're not intimately involved with the vendor. Like it's worth investing, whether it costs a few hundred, a few thousand dollars or something, to get it set up right. Because if you get it set up right, it's going to pay you back recurring on an ongoing basis, and you'll know what you're doing. And just in terms of like the sheer volume of time that you'll save, both in terms of like not trying to, you know, figure out what's going on, not trying to, you know, not spending time on the live chat to support, and it's just a no-brainer to me.
This is one of those things too, where if this is not in your wheelhouse, don't even try. Right, like play to your strengths. Do not, if you're, you know, on the Colby score, if you're all quick start and no follow through, or in Perry's marketing DNA, you're all live and creative and no operations and management, just don't go there. You'll burn out so fast, and you'll make a mess, and you won't make any progress. Yeah. It's totally worth your while to hire a technician to actually build it right for you and maintain it.
Yeah, you basically need three people. You need the business owner, you need the systems expert, and then you need someone who can do the contents.
Yeah.
And you know, it's possible to be in multiple of those roles. So in my business, I for a long time operated in all three roles. I'm the business owner, I'm the systems expert, and I'm the copywriter.
Yep.
But often it's best if they are different people. And I eventually realized, because I sort of played at being a systems person for a while, like when I did my Infusionsoft accreditation and stuff. And I'm okay at that. But I know a real systems person when I see one, because they are the people who, like, their dream is to have like four whiteboards side by side, full of like, you know, flow charts of like people opt in with this form, and we send them on this form, and we have this offer, and we send them this way, and we have a decision diamond, and like, and they literally like love that. And I'm like, yeah, I just want to write the emails, to be honest. So it's almost like you need the right people. Like, you need the right people in the right roles. If you can afford to hire the right person in the right role from the beginning, it's going to greatly help you. If not, then you need to be prepared to roll up your sleeves and put in some serious time to make it work.
Yep. Yeah. And if you find yourself in that position because of resources, or you're just getting started, again, and I know we're kind of beating a dead horse here, but you need to find the system that is actually going to work for you. And that probably means the one that has fewer bells and whistles, not more. Keep it simple. Focus on the job at hand and get it done.
Yeah. I think if anyone's listening to this and they have questions of like, well, how do I go about getting help from a systems expert? Like, who should I trust? So I am not available to hire as the systems expert, but I am still well connected in that world. So if anyone does want to email, just send an email to info@maysmarketingpodcast.com and we'll see what we can do. Yep. That's probably the best I can offer. You know, I mean, we also had Josh Earle on a few weeks ago, and something that he mentioned was actually that people try to automate too fast.
Yes.
Like a lot of these tools are very good at the automation, and people buy the higher end tools thinking that they're going to automate every marketing email that they send out for the next 5 years. And it doesn't work like that. Yeah. Like, you have to sort of get the content right and get the story right. And that takes a bit like an evolving thing.
Yeah.
So I do a hybrid. Like, I do send some automated emails, and I send some live emails, and then the live emails that I still like in a year's time eventually work their way into the automated email systems and the Maze structure and whatnot. So, if you found this episode helpful, you can continue your education with us through our Maze Insider membership program. As a Maze Insider, you'll get our monthly print newsletter, a monthly members-only webinar, plus unlimited support from myself and Jonathan through our private Google group. Go to maysmarketingpodcast.com/insider and enter the promo code PODCAST at checkout for a free 1-month trial.